Sunday Tama Talk.
Welcome, listeners. I'm Prakru Bairika, Dr. Barton Yanatiro from the United States. I'm here with Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit, who is the abbot of Wat Longposo Thamakayaram in Dumnan Sarawak district of Ratberi province, Thailand. We're going to discuss why the appearance of a Buddha is so rare. Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit is one of Thailand's most eminent meditation masters and Buddhist scholars. He aims at rejuvenating Buddhism with dual focus on academic study and meditation practice. He's the abbot of Wat Longposo Thamakayaram. He was awarded his current ecclesiastical rank of Pratrajyan Wisit in 2004, or BE 2547, and has recently received an honorary doctorate in Buddhist administration from Mahachula Longkorn Ratchawithyalai University. Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit has led Wat Longposo to become a center of excellence in both meditation practice and academic studies. The temple trains over 20,000 participants annually in meditation, Dhamma, Pali, and related areas. It is both a provincial school of Pali education and a provincial Buddhist meditation institute, and serves as an educational center for both Mahachula Longkorn Ratchawithyalaya University and the World Buddhist University. In brief, Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit has an excellent and extremely impressive record, and we're very glad to have him with us. Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit, Venerable Sir, welcome. Well, sir, today we're going to discuss why the appearance of a Buddha is so rare. Can you begin by telling us how rare the appearance of a Buddha is?
Good morning, everyone. The appearance of a Buddha is very, very rare indeed. You cannot count the time between Buddhas in ordinary earth years. When Lord Buddha achieved enlightenment, he saw millions and millions of Chakravan, or cosmoses, all repeatedly coming into existence, lasting for a while, and then disintegrating. The Chakravan includes the heavens and hells, as well as the visible universe. To describe this, he had to formulate astronomical measures. First, he defined the Mahakappa, or aeon, as the time for one complete cycle, in which a cosmos is born, exists, disintegrates, and then lies dormant until it is born again. Then he introduced the word asankhaya, which literally means incalculable, to refer to the number 10 to 140 power, for Buddha's time is measured in asankhaya kappa. In addition, Lord Buddha defined an antaraga, or sub-aeon, as follows. When humans are pure, the average lifespan is 1 asankhaya, or 10 to 140 power years, due to killing other living beings. The average lifespan decreases roughly 1 year per 100 years, for example. In Lord Buddha's day, the average human lifespan was 100 years. Now, 2,500 years later, the average lifespan is 75 years. Lord Buddha defines a sub-aeon, antaraga, as the time it takes for the average human lifespan in a realm to decrease from 1 asankhaya years to 10 years. And then increase back up to 1 asankhaya again. An aeon or mahakap is roughly 16,640 asankhaya, a truly astronomical number. This should give you some feeling for the vastness of an aeon. For our own cosmos, scientists estimate that the origin of Big Bang occur on the order of 10,000 million years ago. During this vast period, only four Buddhas have appeared. In fact, however, we are very lucky some universes are born and die without any Buddhas emerging at all. The four Buddhas in our Kappa are Buddha Kakusanto, Buddha Gonakamano, Buddha Kaspo, and our Buddha Kotomo. There is still one more Buddha to come. He is Buddha Maitreya, who is waiting in Tusita heaven for his proper time.
Thank you, sir. By explaining the astronomical Buddhist measures, you anticipated my second question. Now, why is the appearance of a Buddha so rare?
The reason that the appearance of a Buddha is so rare is because it takes such a long, long time to become a Buddha. This is because of a long time needed to collect and realize all factors of perfection flawlessly. For our Lord Buddha Gotama, it took a total of 20 Asankhayakappa for preparation. The first phase, making up his mind to become a Buddha, took 7 Asankhayakappa. This lasted from the period of Buddha Brahmadeva to the time of Buddha Sakyamuni. During this long interval, he listened to the teachings of many hundreds of thousands of Buddhas, and his advanced meditation states of transcendental insight, Oyantasana, gradually mature until he felt a strong wish to become a Buddha. The second phase of preparation lasted 9 Asankhayakappa, from the time of Buddha Sakyamuni to the period of the Buddha Dibhāṅgara. This phase resulted in him expressing his wish in intentions, words, and deeds. Buddha Dibhāṅgara firmly predicted that he would eventually become a Buddha. This was the beginning of becoming formally a Bodhisattva. In order to be firmly qualified as a Buddha, any Bodhisattva must fulfill 8 conditions. Number 1, he must be a human being. Number 2, he must be male. Number 3, he must be qualified to be enlightened as an Arahant Saint. But pre-Buddhas do not aim for this. Number 4, must have gone forth to be ordained. Number 5, he must be full of high virtue. That is, he must have attained clear transcendental insight, Oyantasana, and superpowers, or Apinya. Number 6, he must fulfill the major perfection, Paramattha Parami, including offering one's own life for another. Number 7, he must be willing to be a Buddha. And number 8, he must meet a previous Lord Buddha, who firmly predicts that he will become a Buddha. At the time of Buddha Dibhāṅgara, our Bodhisattva was born in Amaravati as Sumedho, the first son of a Brahmin, who went forth to become a hermit and gained superpower. One day at Ramavati, he lay down in the mud to make a human bridge for Buddha Dibhāṅgara and 400,000 disciples to walk across. He made the firm resolve to become a Buddha. Buddha Dibhāṅgara predicted that this young ascetic, lying down as a bridge at the risk of his life, will become a Buddha named Gotama at the end of the next 4 Asankhaya and 100,000 Kappa. The third phase, completing all factors of perfection to pristine excellence of the highest level, took an additional 4 Asankhaya Kappa plus 100,000 Kappa. This lasted from the time of Buddha Dibhāṅgara to the period of Buddha Kassapa. During this interval, he met 24 Buddhas, and all predicted that he would later become a Buddha. Any Bodhisattva who is sure to be enlightened must still complete spotless realization of all 10 perfections to the very highest level. During this period, he will never be reborn in the lowest, the 8th hell, Avijja, or the Lokandara hell, which is outside the universe. He will never become a hungry ghost or an animal smaller than a small bird. When born as a human, the Bodhisattva will not be blind or deaf or mute or lame from birth. The Bodhisattva will not be female or bisexual or homosexual, and will never commit the heinous Anandaraya crimes such as killing his mother and father. When born in celestial realms, he will never be born in the Asanji world of Brahman realm, where those who reject perception stay as if asleep. He will also never be born into the Suttavat Brahman world, which is reserved for Anagami noble disciples. The Bodhisattva will practice only pure action, speech, and thought.
It sounds like the path of a Bodhisattva becoming a Buddha is quite different from the path of an Arahant. Can you explain the difference?
Yes. The most direct path to personal enlightenment as an Arahant is straight upward through the four transcendental noble disciple states, such as stream enterer Sotapanna, once returner Sakadagami, non-returner Anagami, and Buddhist saint Arahant. With effort, many meditators can visit these states of consciousness in this lifetime. The task then is to actually realize these perfected states in daily thought, speech, and behavior. This requires a long, long time, at least 100,000 kappa, but this is still relatively quick in comparison with the four asankhaya plus 100,000 kappa required for a full Buddha. The difference is that the Arahant only seeks personal liberation. The Bodhisattva seeks to become a Buddha to also help others achieve liberation.
Thank you very much. Now, please tell us about Lord Buddha's last life prior to being born as Prince Siddhartha, the lifetime in which he finally completely fulfilled all factors of perfection.
Oh, this is a very enjoyable story of Vaisandra, which is widely acclaimed throughout Thailand. It is said that anyone who listens to it gains great merit. Many temples allocate up to 2 or 3 days to presenting it in detail, decorating their sala to look like the Himapana forest. In his last human life, before becoming a Buddha, our Bodhisattva was born as Vaisandara, the eldest son of the King Sanjay and Queen Pushti, who ruled the Sivi kingdom. While still very young, he displayed his exceptional generosity by requesting property from his mother, ready to be given away. He began to govern when only 16 years old and constructed 6 salas for donating property to the poor. During that time, a neighboring state, Kalingarat, suffered from severe drought and famine. The king of Kalingarat could not solve the problem, even though he himself took 8 precepts for 7 days. So he appointed 8 Brahmins to ask for Vaisandra's white elephant. Pajjayanakendra, who was renowned for the fact that wherever he walked, the rain will be just right for the season. He readily gave them his elephant. But this caused the people of Sivi to demonstrate in protest. They petitioned King Sanjay to take back the throne and banish his son Vesandra. The father, fearing a revolution, consented. Despite this, Vesandra still gave away the elephant and prepared to be banished and to live as a hermit. Vesandra ordered his wife, Matsi, to donate his property to those who keep proper precepts and asked her to take care of his son and daughter, while permitting her to get remarried, but requested that she and her son and daughter follow him and stay along with him. So the Bodhisattva left the city along with his wife, son, and daughter, in a four-horse carriage supplied by his father. He gave away everything he owned, even the horses and carriage, to various Brahmins who asked for them. In the end, he and his wife walked on foot, carrying the two small children. They walked 30 yod, or leagues, but they received aid from celestial King Saka to complete this journey in one day. When they arrived at Jeddah state, the king, who was his uncle, invited Vesandra to govern, but he rejected that and went on to stay at Mount Vongkot, where the Deva engineer Visnugama had already built two cottages, one for him and one for his wife and children. He stayed alone as a hermit in one cottage, and his wife and children stayed in the other. He practiced Dhamma, morality, and meditation. For daily living, Matsi collected fruits and roots from the forest for all of them. One day, while Matsi was in the forest, a Brahman baker named Chuchaka came to ask for Vesandra's son and daughter to be his servants. Although Vesandra loved them dearly, he gave them away, with setting a high price for their resale that only a king could pay. The Brahman baker lost his way and brought the children to Sivi town, where they were immediately recognized. King Sanjay quickly bought them, paying a high price. Brahman Chuchaka, unused to so much wealth, ate too much and died. Thus, all the property which he had received from the King Sanjay reverted to the crown. Celestial King Sakadeva Raja, who is also called Indra, saw that Vesandra had only Matsi left and would probably give her away if anyone begged for her. So he disguised himself as an old Brahmin and begged for her to prevent Vesandra from giving her to someone unworthy. Vesandra readily gave her away, and she accepted, knowing that this highest sacrifice would win him success in his quest for perfection. Then King Saka showed himself and returned Matsi along with grant, eight blessings in accordance with the Bodhisattva's wishes. Vesandra wish number 1, may King Sanjaya accept me back to govern as before. Number 2, may I be kind and have the right wisdom not to kill any person, even though they might commit a bad crime. Number 3, may I have the loving kindness and right authority to be a public refuge and to be beloved by the public. Number 4, may I be satisfied firmly only with one wife, even though many loving ladies might be offered. Number 5, may my son govern the state with might and authority and Dhamma practice. Number 6, may I always have sufficient food to donate to others with no end. Number 7, may my property support donations which only increase and never end, in accordance with my generosity. Number 8, when I pass away, may I be born as a high celestial being with perfect factors of perfection, which never deteriorate. Meanwhile, in CV, King Sanjay listened to the stories of the grandson and granddaughter, telling about their father and mother. After hearing all, he prepared his army to bring Vesandra and Matsi home. At the same time, the king of Kalinkarat returned Vesandra's white elephant. Vesandra's son Jali led the procession, riding on white elephant. King Sanjaya and Queen Pusati also traveled in the procession. When the procession arrived at the cottage of Vesandra and Matsi, the royal family were all happily reunited again. They all cried and then fainted. The earth quaked and pink rain fell, but never made anyone wet. All six who fainted recovered and returned to Sivi to govern as before. All of Vesandra's 8 wishes were fulfilled. After he passed away, he went to Dusita heaven to wait, and when the time was right, he returned to earth as the first son of King Suddhodana and Pranang Sri Mahamaya of Kapilavattu. He left Dusita on the full moon day of the month of Asanha.
Wow, that's quite a story. And they all lived happily ever after. I understand the noble generosity, but I don't think any wife would agree to be given away today. Women have a mind of their own.
Well, times change, but Matsi knew that he must fulfill his factors of perfection to the utmost in order to become a Buddha. She was willing to make that sacrifice for him.
Well, now, finally, please tell us about Prince Siddhartha's own years of preparation before becoming enlightened as the Buddha.
Prince Siddhartha was born on the full moon day of Visakha. He was married early to the beautiful Princess Pimpa Yasodhara and had a son named Rahula. Although requested, the young prince began to experience real life step by step. When he left the palace with his charioteer, Chana, on various outings, he saw a sick man, an old man, a funeral procession, and a hermit. At the age of 29, the prince arrived at the firm decision to ascertain for himself the truth about life. He renounced his claim to the throne and his wife and family, and entered the woods to live as a hermit. He left silently at night with a strong horse and his charioteer Chana, so that no one would stop him. After crossing Anoma River, he cut off his hair and threw it in the air, saying, "If I am to become enlightened, may it not come down." Celestial King Saka, or Indra, cut the hair and took it to display in Julamani Pakoda in the second level of heaven. Thus, it never came down. Some of the hair can now be seen at Wat Longphosot on special occasion. Prince Siddhartha studied with 2 teachers. Alaraka Lamakot taught him the first 7 jhanas or states of absorption, and Uddaka Ramaputta taught him the 8. He succeeded well in these studies, but found their teachings insufficient for achieving total liberation from these 3 worlds. So he went off to study on his own. 5 hermits, led by Gondanya, the youngest of the Brahman at Prince Siddhartha's naming ceremony came to serve him. He practiced the prevailing methods of self-torture until he realized that two extreme practices, sensual indulgence and self-mortification, would not lead to enlightenment. Then he shifted to middle path approach, purifying his mind through meditation and contemplation. As he progressed, the five hindrances sprang up to obstruct him. The five hindrances are laziness or tinamida, doubt or vichikicca. Number three is ill will, is vyabhata, restlessness, uttaccha kukuccha, and sensual desire, kamachanta. He suppressed each with the corresponding jhana factor, apply thought, vitaka, sustain thought, vichara, joy, piti, peaceful, happiness, sukha, and one-pointed concentration, ekakata. Suppressing and overcome these obstacles, the prince continued and ultimately destroyed the 10 fetters to achieve enlightenment under the Bodh tree at Gaya in North India on the full moon night in the month of Visakha. At the age of 35, he became the Buddha 2,595 years ago.
Thank you very much, Dr. Prat-Rajyan Wisit. You have been both entertaining and instructive.
Thank you for your attention. May Lord Buddha be with all of you.
Listeners, from now on, we will be here every first Sunday of the month at this time. Next month, we will discuss exactly how Prince Siddhartha, our Bodhisattva, became enlightened, and precisely what insights he learned. We look forward to having you join us.
Sunday Dhamma Talk.